I just wanted to follow up on one thing you mentioned, and that's the brain fog. Does that get better after perimenopause? Does the fog just kind of lift?
Welcome to our Perimenopause What the F podcast, brought to you by the Peri community. In this podcast, we talk everything, and we mean everything, perimenopause. We navigate through all our what the F perimenopause moments and all, is this normal, questions. We talk with perimenopause experts, thought leaders, and inspirational voices of the community. To connect with other perimenopause warriors, download our free Peri app. You can find the link in our show notes. And now, let's dive right in.
My name is Bev Kemp, perimenopause survivor, and I'm really excited to be here today to share my experience with perimenopause with all of you. So I want to say that, you know, you're free to turn your cameras on and you are free to unmute if you've got any questions about my perimenopause experience or any questions that you might have about your own experience with perimenopause. So I will leave that up to you. If you're not comfortable doing that, feel free to put your comment or question in the chat, and I will do my best to answer your questions. My goal with the talk today is to let women know and to reassure women that there is life on the other side of perimenopause. I, as somebody who experienced a really severe menopausal transition, I know how difficult it can be. But what I can tell you is that the symptoms do improve and they become less frequent and less intense as you go through perimenopause and into postmenopause. So that's the good news. You know, when I was going through perimenopause, I actually only found the Peri app in the tail end of my perimenopause, unfortunately. And I would do a shout out to the Peri app. It's amazing. But I was a participant in two other perimenopause forums, and they were amazing. But what I would say I noticed is a lot of the women really wanted to hear that voice of a woman from the other side. And that voice was really lacking. It was a lot of women who were really, really struggling. And people kept asking, you know, is there any woman who has actually made it through perimenopause? So I think that my voice is a really important part of the conversation. And so I'm excited, and let's get started. Approximately 20% of women have a severe perimenopausal transition. So that can be physical, that can be psychological, or that can be a combination of both. And I think what makes perimenopause and this whole transition even more challenging is that there really remains a culture of silence around the menopause and the menopausal transition. You know, there's a lack of understanding on the part of the medical community, but also a lack of understanding on the part of society at large. And that makes women often feel very isolated, very alone, very terrified. And that was certainly my experience. I've noticed that recently, you know, menopause and perimenopause is starting to sort of creep into our social consciousness. And, you know, we hear Oprah's talking about it, Gwyneth Paltrow's talking about it. I read articles, you know, in the New York Times. So things are changing, but we certainly have a long way to go. And I'm sure that you can all attest to that as well. So I told myself that once I made it through perimenopause, that I would really make it my life's mission to support women through this, you know, tumultuous and very challenging time. And that's really what I aim to do. So I want my voice to contribute to an increased awareness around the menopausal transition and the life-altering physical and psychological symptoms that can occur because of this phase in women's life. So for me, my perimenopause really began at a time in my life where I was undergoing a lot of changes, both personally and professionally. And I think that's true for a lot of women in perimenopause, that you just have a lot going on in your, you know, 40s. And so for me, it was difficult to sort of know when it actually started. But what I realized is when all of those personal and professional stressors were clearly in the rearview mirror. I just wasn't recovering. And so at that point, I recognized that something else was going on. It wasn't just life stress. It was something else. And the big thing that I noticed more than anything else is that I just didn't have any stress resilience. I just couldn't cope with day-to-day life anymore. So, you know, things that I used to take in stride just became insurmountable for me. You know, sometimes at my worst, getting through the day became my greatest achievement. Even there were times I was so stressed out. I was so overwhelmed emotionally. I had this horrible fatigue where I could barely walk, that even just having a shower became a Herculean task for me. It was really devastating. You know, on top of that, I had huge mood fluctuations from normal mood to, you know, euphoria, almost like just being on, you know, a drug, to deep depression. And sometimes those mood fluctuations could all happen. I could cycle through all of those within a span of about an hour. I really felt like an alien had invaded me. And I really didn't recognize myself, my body, my mind. It all became, it was just something I didn't recognize anymore. And it was really, really frightening. I was experiencing thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, psychological experiences that I had never experienced in my entire life. I just didn't identify them as being me at all. You know, I can remember many times just walking down the street, sobbing, just filled with this intense sense of grief that I didn't understand. Like nothing had happened to me. There was nothing to overwhelm me. And yet I was just overwhelmed by these powerful, challenging emotions. And I just continued to have these emotional meltdowns out of nowhere. And I just honestly didn't know how to cope with them or what to do with them. You know, other than understanding that it was hormonal imbalance, I didn't know how to explain them. And it was really brutal going from just never being able to predict how you were going to feel. And I think the scariest thing for me is just not knowing when it was going to end. It was hard. You know, I often said to my partner, it's like going to prison and getting a sentence where, you know, they say you're going to get out one day, but who knows when it's going to be. You know, it might be next month, it might be next year, it might be in 10 years. And that's really hard time to do. And that's what I felt it was like for me. I just felt like a prisoner. I spent a lot of time researching. I'm a real type A personality and autonomy is very important for me. So I really wanted to understand like what was happening to me. How could I get better? What could I do? So I really educated myself on everything perimenopause and became quite a perimenopause expert. You know, through my research, I learned that there are over 100 symptoms of perimenopause. Of course, they're largely unrecognized by the medical community, you know, who will tell you that, you know, if you don't have irregular periods or if you're not having hot flashes and night sweats, you're not in perimenopause. But they don't really know the reality of it. So the reality of it is that there are, as I said, over 100 symptoms of perimenopause. And when I look at the list, and you can find them online, I think I experienced about 75 of them. Insomnia was a huge one for me, and that was totally debilitating. That happened at the beginning of my perimenopause. You know, but I also experienced anxiety, depression, rapidly fluctuating moods. I had extreme exhaustion, genitourinary symptoms of menopause, electric shocks, joint pain, psychotic thinking, hot flashes, night sweats, and a real intense desire to be alone. I just wanted to cocoon. I didn't want to socialize. I was unmotivated. I didn't want to do anything. And I had, you know, these physical and psychological symptoms would come and go, would reappear for no reason. You know, sometimes I would feel well, other times I would be profoundly unwell, and it seemed like nothing I did or said made any difference. And I really knew that it was totally chemical. So when it came to my mood, I could actually feel myself going down. So it was like a movie curtain going down where I could feel I was going into a depression. And it happened the other way. It was like a curtain going up. I could feel lightness happening. So in a way that was really reassuring for me, because it made me realize that this had nothing to do with me, that this was just this horrible chemical experience that was just something that I couldn't control. So that in itself gave me this ability to distance myself from what was happening to me. So it was really not me. It was something that was happening to me. So I had all these symptoms and I tried to do absolutely everything I could to help myself. You know, I saw specialists, I took nutraceuticals, I took pharmaceuticals, I sought counseling, I sought psychiatric care, and I went to ER. I did feel really misunderstood by the medical community. My GP, you know, she told me that she went through perimenopause and what I had was too severe to be perimenopause. And that made me feel almost ashamed, alone, misunderstood, scared. My gynecologist was useless, my psychiatrist, you know, so I realized to a large degree, I was on my own to figure this out. And that's how it felt. I really started to make smart choices around my self-care. And I really prioritized myself. And I didn't feel guilty for saying no, for saying, I just can't do this. I have to take care of myself. I read a lot of Eckhart Tolle, for those of you who are familiar with Eckhart Tolle. But, you know, basically, his philosophy is that, you know, when you're suffering, if you can't extricate yourself from the suffering in that moment, you need to open the door to it. You need to just allow that experience to be. And so to not have resistance to your suffering actually really helped. So that was something that I actively practiced. So it's sort of a mindfulness practice. I read dozens of books on perimenopause and I found those really helpful and really sort of life-affirming for me because it made me realize I could see myself in these books. And a lot of the books that I read had women's stories and a lot of stories were similar to me. And so it made me feel that I wasn't completely crazy. In terms of what I did to help myself, I took two different medications for sleep and those completely allowed me to sleep 8-9 hours a night, every night without fail. And that was critical for me being able to function. I tried to keep structure to my day whenever I could. You know, I engaged in meaningful work. I got out in nature. I gardened, which I found was a really healing process for me. I exercised. I reached out for support. My partner really was instrumental in my ability to cope. And I was brutally honest with him about what I was going through. I didn't hide. I didn't have shame. And he really helped me on a daily basis. And I think without him, I don't really know where I would have been. So I was incredibly lucky. He's a very progressive, non-judgmental, caring, loving individual who was really a key part of my recovery. You know, the online forums, as I mentioned, were really helpful for me. I would often, when I was at my worst, I would send out messages, you know, pleading for help about whatever symptom I was dealing with. Usually it was a psychological one and primarily depression. And, you know, I would go out and exercise. I would go run in the mountains and I would come back and, you know, there would be messages of support and those really buoyed me up. And that was amazing. The other thing that I did that was incredibly helpful is I tracked my moods and my cycles every day without fail for 4 or 5 years. And that was amazing because I had such severe brain fog, I couldn't remember anything. So when I was unwell, I would look back and see there were times when I was well, just that it was written down in black and white. And knowing that made me realize that I wasn't always unwell. And what I saw when I looked back as the months and years went on is I could see that I was incrementally getting better. So I had at the beginning just these little blips of feeling well, and those little blips turned into, so hours turned into days, turned into weeks, turned into months. And then at a certain point, I just stopped tracking because even in the last 2 years of my perimenopause, I was well 100% of the time. And so that was something that, you know, I really recommend that women do. So I would say I had 2 or 3 years that were really agonizing for me. But even in those 2 or 3 years, I think at its worst, I would say I was good 30% of the time, but it was like in these little blips here and there. So it wasn't like I got this long stretch of feeling well. I would get a couple of hours and then it would be bad and then I would be okay. So that was really hard time for me to do. And I think it was hard for me really to understand that any struggle could take this long, could be this difficult. It was just hard for me to conceptualize that I couldn't just, I just wanted my ovaries to just give up and shut down and I wanted to be done. But now when I look back on my struggle, you know, I feel a lot of pride. The fact that I persevered, that I kept going, that I was actively seeking my recovery. And when I look back now, I see a lot of gifts that struggle gave me. I mean, it definitely made me a stronger person. It made me dig down deep and I realized I had resources that I didn't know, internal resources. And, you know, through my struggle in perimenopause, I actually wrote a book about my struggles, which I'm hoping to publish. Because I had a severe perimenopausal experience, I became a menopause doula. I became a menopause coach. I started the Menopausal Mind, which is a service that, you know, educates, supports, and mentors women through perimenopause. So if I hadn't had a severe experience, none of those things in my life would have happened. So I feel like my life has really opened up in ways that I never expected it would. You know, so I'd really encourage women in perimenopause to really look at their lifestyle. You know, I made sure that, you know, I was hydrated, that I was eating well, that I was practicing self-care, that I was getting massage, that I was, you know, journaling, that I was really, really taking care of myself. And I know for me, I mean, it didn't make all those symptoms go away, but when I didn't practice those things, it made things infinitely worse. So what I want to leave, you know, you with is just to know that this isn't a life sentence, that no matter how awful your symptoms are, how much you're struggling, how bad it is, that it does get better. And when we look at statistics and we look at peak happiness for women is actually in their 60s and their 70s, which is squarely in the postmenopausal phase. So there is a lot to be optimistic about. There is a lot to feel excited about. And to be honest, I feel now that my life is only beginning and I'm left with a lot of confidence, with a lot of energy, with a lot of excitement about the new phase of life that I have entered. And that's what I honestly feel is waiting for all of you. So I'm now going to go on to the questions that were submitted to me by the Peri community. And after that, I want to open things up to all of you women there, and I'm happy to answer any questions about my personal experience or about any questions that you might have. So the first question is, how long did perimenopause last? So I sort of answered that in my talk. I would say that perimenopause started for me. So right now I'm going to be 56 this year. Perimenopause, I would say, started for me when I was 48. I would say it lasted about 6 or 7 years, which sounds like a lot. But the last, you know, 2 or 3 years of that, I was well. And the worst of it, I would say, was about 2 years. Next question. What's the best way to let people know what you're going through? You have to be brutally honest. You just have to not hold things back and just be real with people. A lot of women in perimenopause are very sensitized to everything. Things are hard to deal with. So I didn't open up to people that I felt I couldn't be vulnerable with, who I felt wouldn't understand, who I felt I couldn't trust. But to my partner, Oliver, I told him everything. You know, I had, at my worst, I was having psychotic episodes where I was seeing and hearing things that weren't there. And I thought I was losing my mind and I was beyond afraid. And I was partly, I was afraid to even tell him that these things were happening to me, but I did. He was so loving and so understanding. And he told me, you know what, these things that are happening to you have nothing to do with you. And it's not your fault. And you're not going crazy. It's just your hormones. How do you cope with severe anxiety symptoms, especially health related? So this is a really big one for women in perimenopause. It's really, really common to have anxiety. And it's particularly common to have anxiety around our health, especially because so many things are happening to us and things that we don't understand that have never happened before. It's scary. So for me, I had a lot of digestive issues, like serious digestive issues where my you know, abdomen would blow up to the point where I literally looked like I was going to give birth at any moment. I had convinced myself that I had colon cancer. So I went to see a gastroenterologist. I had a colonoscopy, and it turned out that I had a perfect colon. There was nothing wrong, no polyps, no cancerous lesions, nothing. And so seeking out that specialist care helped to dial down my anxiety. So the first thing I would say is, if you're worried about a particular symptom, is to go get it checked out, to get the diagnostic testing done, so that you can reassure yourself that there, you know, is nothing wrong with you. You know, the other thing I would say is really try to stop Googling the symptoms, because you go down that rabbit hole. And what happens is you just are really sensitized to information in perimenopause, and you can just get yourself so worked up. So really try to avoid that. What lifestyle factors can help those navigating perimenopause? So I think I talked about this a bit in my talk. It's just, you really have to prioritize self-care. You know, looking at your eating, what you're drinking, your exercise, right? In terms of anxiety, you know, you've meditation and mindfulness and massage and any sort of healing modalities are really, really important. You know, a lot of women are really fatigued. They can't do hardcore exercise, but we know walking is one of the, you know, most beneficial kinds of exercise that you can do. And just being out in nature and, you know, doing things that are life affirming are important, and maintaining some level of social contact, at least with, you know, people who are safe in your life is important. Do things really get better once you get out of perimenopause? Absolutely, 100%. You know, I feel like my experience was so severe, and I don't think many women could have had a worse perimenopausal, more severe perimenopausal experience than I had, you know, and I became completely well. So I feel like, you know, if I can do it with my severe experience, anybody else there, you know, can do it. And yes, life does get better, and there is a life on the other side of perimenopause. How do you combat brain fog and fatigue? So brain fog is really common in perimenopause. I know there are a lot of women, you know, I kind of joked with Oliver and told him, you know, I feel like I have Alzheimer's. So, you know, I would be talking, and in the middle of my sentence, it was just, I forgot what I was saying. I felt like almost like somebody had taken my brain out, and it was just like air that was in my brain. I couldn't think. I couldn't find things. I could just couldn't remember. But for whatever reason, for me, it wasn't distressing. I just knew it was perimenopause, and I didn't worry about it too much. I think, you know, I didn't feel like there was much that I did that really combated it, but I felt like it was one of those symptoms that kind of came and went. So there were periods when it was really acute, and there were other times when I was really lucid and, you know, I was really creative and I could think and I had energy. But I think it goes back to those lifestyle points that I talked about. It's really, really important to be prioritizing those. So the fatigue, the fatigue that you experience in perimenopause is not the kind of fatigue when people talk about, oh, I'm tired, or I had a bad night's sleep. And, you know, Oliver would sometimes say to me, I'd say, I'm so exhausted. You know, he would say, we just need to get a good night's sleep. And that would kind of irritate me, because the kind of fatigue that you experience in perimenopause isn't relieved by getting a good night's sleep. You know, I could have 10 hours sleep and I could wake up, or I'd have this absolute crushing fatigue where just even walking was exhausting. You know, and I think on those days, you have to dial things back. You have to say, you know, I would have to dial back my work. I wouldn't, you know, there'd be days where I would just be on the couch, just relaxing, reading, journaling, taking care of myself, not feeling guilty, not feeling like I should be doing things. I just accepted it, and I waited until I got that energy. And it comes in waves, right? So I would be hit with this crushing fatigue, and it might last for hours, it might last for a couple of days, then my energy would kick in. And this is what happens, you know, when the hormones are changing. So those are the questions that have been submitted to me. So I want to open things up to everybody who is a part of the call today. So I'm going to kind of throw it out to the women who are listening. What questions do you have for me?
Hi, Bev. So thank you so much for this very motivational, because like I am 44 right now, and I've been going through this since I was like 39, like when it all started. And it just feels like nobody's believing you. Like everybody's making you crazy, and like you're on your own. And I work in the medical field. I'm surrounded by physicians and specialists and all of that. And you know, like it feels like, oh, you have thyroid, but like, you know, like I'm literally going that you have Hishimoto to the other, like highs and lows, but like they can't put me on medication because every single month I'm one or the other, or, you know, and I'm the type A personality as well. I've been researching. I've been, you know, I'm getting the certified doula certification. So like, you know, I'm doing all of this progressive because there's really no voices to tell us like, this is normal. This is what you're going through, because your physicians are telling you, oh, you just stress. You are a mother. You are this. No, like I know my body, and like that's like, you know, like I feel like people are making me crazy and not listening to you, and it's so hard and it's exhausting. And then you come home, you already like, you know, like you said, like you're in prison and you don't know when that sentence is going to be over, and you're like literally holy shit, like you don't know what to do. And thank you so much for like being that voice and saying, you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, like you will feel better. It's just so nice to hear somebody validating like that I'm not crazy, that I am, you know, these are valid things. Cause like, you know, I feel like I'm a shitty mother a lot of times, cause like I have no motivation to do anything with my 10-year-old. And like, you know, I sit there and cry cause he wants to go to the park and I can't even get myself get out of bed. So it's like, like it is so many emotions, and it's like, wow, there's actually like, and like, you know, like slowly I'm starting to discover people like you and like the Perry community, that it's like, oh my God, like I am not, like, you know, that little weight is like, I'm not crazy. Like there, it's like there's validation for what we're going through. So I just want to say thank you. Like the amount of the emotions going through me as I was listening to you, it's like.
Absolutely. I mean, you're totally right. You know, and you know, and I alluded to in my talk, well, you know, when my GP, who I'd had a long-term relationship with, who I really connected with, you know, when I came in and was telling her about the psychotic symptoms I was having, and she just said it was impossible. It couldn't be perimenopause. I was mentally ill. You have to go to ER right away. And I felt filled with shame, and it was horrible, you know. And I think we really have to be advocates for ourselves, and as women, we have to stick together. And this is the first generation of women, I think, who really have a voice, you know, who are educated, who have autonomy, who have confidence, who are going to speak up. And I think we are really pioneered. The next generation of women have an easier time going through perimenopause, you know. And one of the other benefits, and I know, so we know with like with estrogen is a hormone that wants to make us nest. So as women, you know, when we have estrogen, we're all about, you know, wanting to, we want to apologize, right? We want to keep everybody happy, and we often feel guilty. And, you know, what I noticed in a low estrogen environment with me is I stopped apologizing when I didn't need to. I stopped feeling guilty. I had the ability to say no and just say, no, thank you. I don't want to do that. So you get this voice, you get this ability to really, you know, prioritize yourself. And that doesn't mean you're selfish. It means that you're taking care of yourself, you know, and I think that's something I didn't have in my 30s and in my 40s. And that's something that I got in my 50s. So that's another gift that comes out of coming through the menopausal transition. You make choices that align with your values, with your beliefs, and what you want for yourself and for your life.
And then one really quick question. So like, I am 44 right now. Like, you know, I've been going through this battle because, like, you know, like I educate myself. I know what it is. And just by saying things, but I still get that wall. You're too young to be in perimenopause. Like you, it's like, you know, there's really no test to tell you when you are in perimenopause. No, you're too young. Your period is perfect. But like, I had MRIs because I have these internal earthquakes, almost kind of like the vertigo, like all of these crazy symptoms that I know is not normal for my body. Like, you know, like my mood swings, uncontrollable, like the craziness that's going on. You're too young to be in perimenopause. So it's like, how do we talk to our medical team saying like, I need help, but like I am in perimenopause. Like, you know, it's so hard to even put words to it because professionals who are trying to help us saying, no, you're okay, you're just stressed. So like, do you have any kind of like advice just to how to approach your medical team or even how to divert from your, like how to like say goodbye to your physician that you've been with? Because like my PCP was, I've been with her for the past 15 years. So like, you know, like, when our alignments are not the same, how do we like break that relationship and like find somebody else? Like, is there like advice that you could give us?
Yeah, I mean, I ended up when I had that experience with my GP, that was the last time I saw her, you know, and I found another GP who was more understanding, more well-versed in perimenopause and in hormones. I think, you know, as I said, you know, there's a complete failure on the part of the medical community to really understand this. They don't know. I mean, I went in there with much more knowledge than they had, you know, so I think it's, you know, we have to kind of be our own voice. I mean, you know, you can look for like a NAMS certified GP, so North American Menopause Society. So people who actually have more education around the menopause. But we know for sure 90% of women go into full menopause within the range of 45 to 55. It is totally not uncommon for women to be going through perimenopause in their 30s, in their mid through late 30s, right? That's not uncommon. You do not have to have irregular periods to be in perimenopause. I was had completely normal cycles and I was in perimenopause. So, you know, a lot of doctors will tell you, you know, if you're having regular periods, if you don't have hot flashes and night sweats, you can't be in perimenopause. You know, I had a naturopath who's supposed to be progressive and I went in there when I was 47 and had all these symptoms. And she told me, I'm too young to be in perimenopause. Ironically enough, I now receive emails from her talking about menopause and menopause in your 30s. And it's like the penny's finally dropped, right? So, you know, I think even in medical school now, these voices have to come into the mainstream and society is going to change, right? We've seen a lot of changes in women's health, you know, throughout this generation. And I think it's going to take time.
Hi, Bev. How are you?
I'm well.
I just want to tell you that your story resonates so much with mine. So in 2020, I was 40, I just turned 42, and my period went wonky. And I was like, oh, I'm under a lot of stress. My dad was sick at the time. I didn't think anything of it. I bled for 30 days straight, which was completely odd for me because I was 28 days every single month, didn't have a problem with my period. It wouldn't stop. So I went into the gynecologist and, you know, I had a physical and she said, this is hormonal and your lining looks like it's thinning out and you're probably going to stop bleeding in the next couple of days and gave me some medicine and sent me on my way. Started my downfall after that. After that period, I didn't get a period for 3 months. Mm-hmm. When it came back, I was starting to have other symptoms that I didn't even know what perimenopause was. To me, mm-hmm. I was in my early 40s and I was like, menopause is like 50-year-old women. You know, mm-hmm. This is how it starts. This is, you know, I'm way too young. That's not me. Maybe it's my thyroid. I go to my GP. I get a thyroid scan. I get all these things done. There's nothing wrong with you. Okay. Mm-hmm. 2 years later, in last year, I got hit like a ton of bricks. All of a sudden, it was every symptom that you can possibly think of, I got hit. It was so bad that I lost 20 pounds. I thought I was dying of stomach cancer. I thought I had colon cancer. I was at the gastro. I was getting tests done. I was at the cardiologist. My heart was going crazy. I literally thought I was dying. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the mental that was on top of it. I was having extreme anxiety. Everything and anything. I was like, that's it. I'm dead. I'm leaving my 9-year-old son. This is it. You know, and I'm, you know, committing myself at this point. I said to my husband, who has been my godsend through this whole thing for me, he's been such a big support in my journey and he's a lot younger than I am. So it's, you know,
he really helped me out. He said, I don't think that you're going crazy. I think that your hormones might be out of whack, and I think that you're looking in the wrong places. Mm-hmm. And there started my journey with Perry. And I talked to my GP, who's been my doctor for 10 years, and he was like, it could be, this is more of a conversation for your gynecologist. Why don't we make an appointment? My yearly was coming up, and she was like, oh yeah, you're not too young. You're 44. And I'm like, okay. Well, when I got hit like a train out of nowhere, I said, oh, this can't possibly just be menopause. There's no way. I had every test. And then finally I said, I can't do this anymore. I can't feel like this. I can't not sleep at night, and I can't not eat, and I can't not go outside and function and be viable for my 10-year-old who's looking at me like, what's going on? Is mom sick? And I made a conscious decision at that point to say, well, I'm going to go on an antidepressant and see if that helps, because my doctor had suggested that. Mm-hmm. And I did that, and I started therapy, and I joined this app last year. And thank God for these group of women, because without it, I would have had no clue. And now I try to support other women in their early journey, because I know what it's like to be hit with that, you know, that feeling of dread, fear. Am I going to die? Am I going to leave my family by themselves? Who's going to take care of them? And I have 6 children, and 5 of them are adults, and only 1 of them is still at home. I talk to my children about it, and I have daughters that are, you know, 18 years old, and they're like, what's going on? And yeah, I try to explain to them, and, you know, they understand, but they really don't. So that's it. That's a mother's job to try to teach her daughters, especially our daughters, that whatever you're going through in life, it's a journey, and you have to go along with it. So now I'm proactive with, you know, talking to a lot of the younger girls about, you know, hormones and things like that, and things that you can eat, because I'm really into like natural things. So I'm not on hormone replacement. I'm not really a candidate for that. So there goes that. That's out the window for me. They wanted to give me birth control. I said, no, I didn't have, you know, good results with birth control in the past. And that wasn't for me. However, with diet and exercise and learning to love myself, this journey has taught me a lot of things. I garden now. I never gardened before. I didn't even like it. I was like, no, I'm not a gardener. I started a book club on the Perry app. I've learned boundaries. I've learned to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. That's not for me right now, but you go ahead and have a good time with that and not feel guilty about it. It just resonates. And I'm so happy that you're on here saying there's life after this journey, because it's been 2 solid years for me. And I want to say Perry hell, but it seems like there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And I feel like I've really been in it since I'm 40, and I'll be 47. And the women in my family have transitioned by 48 to 50. So I feel like I'm almost there. It's like a little engine that could, like, we're almost there, just a little bit more, you know? So I just wanted to thank you.
Oh, and, you're welcome.
You know, we appreciate you, and we appreciate our, you know, our Perry dinosaurs, because without you, us youngins wouldn't have a clue. So I just Well, you know, I'm a dinosaur too now, but I had such a fear of getting older. When I turned 40, I cried. When I turned 45, I was like, okay, this is me. You know, the wrinkles start setting in, and people are like, oh, you're too old to do that. Or I'm going to dance until I'm 90. If God keeps these legs a moving, so am I. Like, things don't change. So just thank you. We appreciate you.
You're welcome.
And I just wanted to let you know that.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, you're right too, about like the tests and things not showing up. Right. And that, I think that's a really hard part. You know, I would get all these tests and everything is normal. And it's like, how can everything be normal when I feel so profoundly unwell? Right. So, I mean, that in itself can be a real isolating experience. But, you know, I, as I said, I think things are changing, and, you know, I think in terms of menopause being recognized, I personally think a lot of it has to do with ageism, because we recognize women's issues with reproductive health throughout the whole continuum, except when it comes to menopause. So we recognize, you know, PMS that, you know, you might have when you're first getting your period into your teens. We recognize, you know, postnatal depression. We even recognize, you know, like postnatal psychosis. And, but when it comes to menopause, you know, suddenly, you know, it has nothing to do with the hormones. It's just anxiety. It's just depression. It's, you know, I personally think it's ageism, and but I do think things are changing, and things are going to continue to change in a positive trajectory.
Hi, I just want to say thank you for this counseling. Or I'm just a bit confused. I just barely joined Perry a few weeks ago because I started this crazy journey barely last year. It started in September, and I've been continuing. In the beginning, I thought that I was going crazy. Some of the things that you shared is like, oh my God, that's what I went through. I went through a psychotic breakdown. I thought I was going crazy. I wanted to go to the ER. Just so many things that, you know, like you mentioned before, we have to advocate for ourselves. You know, it's very scary. It was very scary for me because it's like, you know, I'm 47 now. I'm like, why am I thinking things like this, these intrusive thoughts that are coming through my head? And come to find out, it's my hormones. They're just going out of whack. I'm still kind of fighting a little bit because I decided to get on antidepressants. I really didn't want to, but I said to myself, you know, is this how I want to be for, like, I don't know, like you mentioned before, this whole journey is a 5-6 years. I don't know. it's scary, especially the anxiety part. I've never felt that ever. And it's the worst thing. But the antidepressants, I mean, they did give me 25 milligrams, but I'm only doing half because I don't know. I just feel like a little bit more of a natural products and, you know, your eating habits. But, you know, this has helped me a lot to connect with other women. I thought it was just me, but now I'm realizing that there's a lot of women that go through this. It's just not me. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't able to understand why am I going through this? But come to find out, I am 47. This is how it is for women. But, you know, I'm glad that there's resources like this app that I just joined. And it's a lot of help. It doesn't make you feel alone. You're not alone.
Exactly. It's so important because it can be such an isolating experience, right?
Yes.
Now, I know when you said, you know, for me, I think I had, you know, an unusually lengthy perimenopause. You know, there's high variability is what I would say. So, you know, for some, they say on average, it's about 4 years. Right. But there's high variability in terms of the way that women go through it, in terms of their, you know, how symptomatic they are. So some women will have, I mean, what we know is that perimenopause tends to be the most difficult phase out of the two. Right. So that's when the hormones are fluctuating the most. That's where, you know, women tend to have the most severe symptoms. And then when you get into that postmenopausal stage, you know, where the hormones have basically flatlined, that's when things tend to even out.
I honestly thought I was going crazy. I go, what am I thinking? These thoughts, and you know, come to find out it's anxiety. I'm like, couldn't I get like the hot flashes instead of the anxiety? But it's, you know, some people don't get anxiety. Other women get something else. But I'm like, why did I get the worst part?
I felt the same way. I felt like, why does this have to happen to me? Why do I have to suffer? Right. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand. I thought it was so profoundly unfair. Yeah. At a certain point, I just accepted it because, you know, if you can't change it, railing against it is not going to make it any better. But I mean, I did everything under the sun. I just opened myself up to everything. I will try everything, you know, and some things worked, some things didn't, you know, but, you know, it passed the time. And,
I just made just a few changes. Like I'm reading books now, something I don't like to read. I'm reading books. I've always been a person. I love exercises. I'm very active. That's one thing. I'm watching my diet. Just a lot of things I do share with some, especially with my daughter. She's only 20, but I just tell her, you know, don't feel isolated. I want to share my experience because eventually she will go through it, maybe not as severe as mine, you know, whatnot. But I try to educate her, you know, that there's other things and try to look into it and inform yourself. So many things. So much support. It's very little support of doctors because they always tell you, oh, it's just normal. And they just want to put everything under the rug. But, you know, it's really something that we need to advocate and, you know, support one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But thank you so much. I like this.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm going to put in the link to my website, themenopausalmind.com. There are a lot of really good resources on there. So in terms of the book section on the menopausal mind, those are sort of my top picks for books. So okay. If you're looking for options for reading, there's a lot of great ones there.
Okay. Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Of course.
I just wanted to follow up on one thing you mentioned, and that's the brain fog. Does that get better after perimenopause? Like, does the fog just kind of lift?
Yeah. That's something that definitely, it's related a lot to the hormone fluctuation. So that's what we know is like with women's cognitive abilities, you know, you get more energy, clearer thinking once all the hormones clear down. That was certainly my experience. I mean, the symptoms that we tend to see more in postmenopause are those that are related to low estrogen. So things like dryness. So that's when you get the genitourinary symptoms of menopause, and some women will take like vaginal estrogen to deal with that. Joint pain. So a lot of those kinds of symptoms. Sometimes there can be an increase in hot flashes and night sweats for the first year or two postmenopause, but the brain fog is something that does clear up in postmenopause. And it certainly did for me actually before I hit menopause.
That's comforting just in terms of being able to still work, you know?
Yeah.
It's important.
Definitely. Does anybody have anything else that they want to ask or comment on?
Hi, this is Tiana. I just wanted to say thank you for sharing as well. I love hearing, you know, everyone's story and different journeys. I am 42 and I've actually had breast cancer twice. And so when I was 35, I had it for the first time and took tamoxifen. That slightly changed my cycles, but not in the way that it did the second go round. Right before I turned 40, I found out that I had a recurrence, and since then have been put into medical menopause. So I have my ovaries, you know, suppressed every month, because the breast cancer that I had responds to estrogen and progesterone. And so my entry into menopause was a shock to the system as well, because it was sudden. I went from essentially, you know, having a colorful, you know, health background with breast cancer, but having regular 28-day cycles to zero period and, you know, the onslaught of symptoms in a very severe way, like to the point where I would dread going to bed because it was just, you know, awful from a hot flash standpoint, from an anxiety standpoint, insomnia, all of the things, just going zero to what felt like 1,000 and not fully appreciating what the journey, you know, would be, because my mindset and, you know, my physician's mindset, my you know, care team was like, we got to kill the cancer, and you know, everything else is kind of something that we can work through. And you know, being told, okay, with the ovarian suppression, you're going to essentially go into menopause, but we'll kind of work through that. I had no clue what that meant. I just thought, okay, no more period, hot flashes, fine, we'll figure it out. But it's turned my world upside down, and that's with being under the care of, you know, a very knowledgeable team. Mm-hmm. And I think the conversations that are happening, the sharing that's happening within this space are so helpful. And from my lens as, you know, a cancer, you know, survivor, I'm almost finished with treatment. It's like, how do we continue to get the word out about the perimenopause journey and what it looks like, and then how it can feel when it's just a you know, one day you're, you know, normally kind of going through what you recognize from a cycle standpoint to, you know, all of the things that you mentioned, the anxiety, the brain fog, all of those things. It's like treating cancer, but then also treating the woman, I think is another very important part of this journey. And having these conversations from the natural standpoint, how we naturally enter menopause, and then how, you know, women can enter menopause from a variety of different ways is really important. And so I just wanted to share that. And also thank you for, you know, putting this time in and dedicating, you know, your life to sharing the word and getting the word out there, because I completely agree with you. Knowledge is power. I've also been devouring, you know, books, and I have conversations with my gynecologist, with my care team on, you know, some of the changes that are still happening with me that I still don't expect. And it's like, okay, no, this is part of it, but it can be tough to, you know, reconcile such a big change that's natural with women that can, you know, kind of flip our lives upside down without really knowing why and having to, you know, kind of learn on the fly. So I know I said a lot, but just wanted to share and say thank you for sharing your story as well, because so many of the points that you mentioned and that everyone on this call has mentioned have been very relatable. And I think, you know, necessary to know that, you know, we're not alone and that there are ways to address these changes and thrive on the other side.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. I mean, I think your experience is, you know, I think that's really, really tough. So the surgical menopause or medical menopause that you had is the most severe kind of menopausal experience you can have, because you go from having your hormones just completely tank. And I think that, you know, doctors, they do the surgery or they do, you get the treatment, and there's very little mention about what the aftermath is like for women who undergo that. So I think your story is really important, and there are many, many women who have your story. So I think it's important to have these kinds of conversations and to normalize it and to seek help. So thank you very much for sharing. I see we are out of time, so we're going to have to wrap things up. But I thank everybody for sharing today, and I feel very thankful to have had an opportunity to tell my story. If you want to reach out for resources or you want to connect with me, you can contact me through themenopausalmind.com. And I wish everybody well, and I hope to connect with you again. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Bev.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to our Perimenopause What the F podcast. The perimenopause journey can be lonely, and it doesn't have to be that way. Make sure to download our free Peri app to connect with perimenopause warriors in the same stage of life. See you next time, Peri sisters.